like Mike was saying, it is a privilege to be able to come up here and to go over some stuff. And he's also right that the warfare has been incredible. I've been very sick the past week. I spent the last couple of days in bed with bronchitis. So hopefully, Lord willing, I won't do that again and blow your eardrums out. Anyway, let's pray real quick. Glorious Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to come before my brothers, Lord, and just to show what you've shown me, Father, to share, Lord, just a little bit more of yourself, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, that I will be able to speak, Lord, without modulation. Lord, I pray that I'll be able to speak without coughing, Father. So just please keep this clear, keep this from me, Lord, and just please bless this time together. Father, it's in your glorious name that we pray. Amen. You know, when for anybody that hasn't yet had the opportunity to come and share before a group of men, before a group of believers, I highly recommend that you do it, because it's really cool the way that the Lord will show you what it is that you're supposed to say. Mike asked me some time ago to come and speak to y'all today, and no problem. So I had pretty much everything lined out. And then Wednesday, God told me, no, we're going to go another direction. And I was blessed by my study time before, so it's not like it was a wasted time. But it's just neat the way that that we think that we have something to say, and in reality it's what God has to say. And the other thing about coming before brothers to teach is that you realize that you get more out of it personally than you ever can possibly share with somebody else. So this specific topic that we're going to be talking about today, the Lord spoke very, very specifically to me about some specific sin in my life. So let me start off by asking, why are we here? Not just literally, as in to eat breakfast, you know, but why are we here on a Saturday? Sorry. All right. Why are we here on a Saturday instead of doing something else? We could be out mowing the lawn or hanging out with our family and friends. I'm just going to kind of look kind of funny while I'm standing here holding this, but that's okay. All right, well, like we were saying, why are we here? Why are we spending time together as brothers in Christ? It's because we want fellowship. We want to have fellowship with one another. We want to have fellowship with Him. But why do we want to associate with those who claim Christ as their own? Why do we even want to be Christians? It's because we know that the only way to get to heaven is to have a relationship, and an eternal salvation is through a loving and growing relationship with our Lord Christ Jesus. There is no other way. Jesus said, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So if we want to know the Father, we first have to come to know Jesus. But at the same time, we all know, we know down deep what dirty, disgusting, wretched sinners we are. God is holy. God is perfect. God is pure. So why would the God, that's such a perfect God, why would the God of creation want to spend time with us? Why would He want us when we are so disgusting? But it's because God loves us. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God made us in His image and for His purpose. And so if He made us, we belong to Him. He can do with us whatever He wishes. Excuse me. And that means that He can take us just like we are. But we are called to make changes in our lives. We're called to leave behind the things of this world and to go closer to God, to pursue the things that He wants for us. To try to live the life that Jesus wants for us. But to do that, we have to become more like Him, to walk closer to Him, and to seek Him first. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things will become new." Well, we do want to become new creatures. We do want to do away with that old life and grow in our new lives. We want to give up those things that are bad for us, the sinful things, the shameful things, the dirty things, and we want to grow closer to God. But to grow closer to God, we do have to change our ways, to step out of darkness and into the light. John 8:12 says, "That then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I know that every man here wants to have that for himself and for his loved ones, to have the light of Jesus in our lives. But it's hard to change. It is hard to repent. To repent means to go the other way, to turn around 180 degrees and go in the exact opposite direction. But it's hard to do things differently than the way we've become accustomed to. We all have things in our life where we do the exact same thing over and over and over again. It's hard for us to change. You know, Albert Einstein once said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. All right? That's exactly what we do. We sin the same old sin. We get upset about it. We repent of it. And for a while, we do good. We walk down the path of righteousness. But then something comes up. Something gets put in our path that we then choose to go back to our old ways because it's comfortable, because we know what the outcome's going to be. It's obvious by looking at me, I have a problem with gluttony. All right? It's not that I like food. I love food. I love food very much. Savory foods, sweet foods, junk foods, healthy foods. It doesn't matter. All food is good, except for beets, fish, and mayonnaise. Those things are gross. But outside of those things, I love food, right? I've been very blessed that I've got a wife that can cook very well. I've been very blessed that you have wives that can cook very well. All right? My trouble is, I can't stop just a little bit. Right? My kind of thought is, if one hamburger patty is good, man, three's got to be a lot better. You know? Or just keep piling it on. There's an old, Mike and I kind of joke, there was an old TV show where they were going through the buffet line, and the younger brother, the younger brother tells the older brother, it's all you can eat, not all you can carry. You know? So, but anyway, how many times have I or any of us have said, I am stuffed, I can't eat another bite. Ooh, dessert. Oh, I'll have a piece of that, and some coffee would be great, right? Well, if I was so full, how can I miraculously have time or have more food for more space for dessert, right? More times than I can count, I've done that. It's not like I haven't tried to lose weight or haven't tried to cut back on the massive quantities of food that I shove down my gullet every day. It's not that. It's just time and time again I fail. It's insanity. I do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Well, how many times have we been insane? How many times have we tried to stop some specific sin, try to give up something that we were addicted to or that we just really, really liked doing, even though we knew it was against the will of God, but we continue to do it? How many times have we tried to stop and we failed? Well, I propose to you that the reason why we've tried is because we haven't really given up the reins to Him. We haven't really submitted that and sacrificed that to the Lord. We're trying to hold on to it, maybe just a little bit, because we really like whatever it is that sin is, or it's comfortable. We know that we can always go back to it. But we're told by Paul in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We do need to present ourselves a living sacrifice. We do need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to change and leave that old stuff behind, to be the new creature that's described in 2 Corinthians. This is our good and reasonable service, but we cannot do it by ourselves. We must ask our Father in heaven for help. And that's the hard part, right? Asking for help. We're men. We don't ask for help. Asking for help is a sign of weakness. If people see that we're weak, we'll be taken advantage of. Our wives will leave us. Our kids will make fun of us. The dog will start laughing at us, right? We can't be weak. Absolutely not. We all know that we can't ask for help. We know it's not true. We know that asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Even Moses needed help, right? When they were going to go fight against Amalek, Moses needed help holding his arms up, right? When Joshua was fighting, so Aaron and Hur held his arms up, and when his arms were up, Joshua was winning. But when his arms started to droop down, the battle was being lost. In order to win that battle, Moses had to have help holding his arms up. We need that same help, and our help is in Jesus Christ. But first, we need to ask Him. Through His perfect will and through His perfect design, God's given us free will. He will not compel us to do His will. He'll never tell us that you will do this. Right? We have to want to do it. We have to want to do God's will. But He's also told us that if you do my will, I'll pave the way for you. Scripture tells us that whatever we ask for in Jesus' name, it'll be given to us. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Or Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But, and here's the big but, we must pray in accordance to His will. We can't just ask for a new car, a new job, a new house, and pray in Jesus' name and expect that it's going to come true. All right? We have to pray according to what He wants and what He wants for us. When we become a new creature in Him, like we're called to do, we become more like Him. And when we become more like Him, then we'll start to want the things that He wants. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, when we desire the things that He desires, we start to desire the things of heaven, and we stop desiring the things of this world. I brewed beer for 15 years. And I had all the equipment, I had all the ingredients. Before kids came, I had all the time and all the money I ever needed to brew beer. It was a passion of mine. Excuse me. I became an authority on the subject of brewing beer. In fact, there was actually a time that I was going to take a leave of absence from the Highway Patrol, go down to UC Davis and become a certified master brewer so I could open up my own microbrewery here in Lawson County. Well, I knew at the time I was doing this, I knew Christ, and I knew I was saved, and I also knew that I needed to seek His will before I went and did that, because if I didn't do it with Him, then it's not gonna happen. It's gonna fall flat. So before I went forward with the venture of leaving the Highway Patrol and becoming a brewer, I prayed about it and I sought His counsel. I knew that I wanted to do His will, and that if I couldn't, if His will wasn't in it, that it wouldn't happen. So I prayed, and God gave me a verse through His infinite wisdom. He gave me a specific verse. Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So the Lord revealed to me that if by my talking about beer, or encouraging others to drink beer, or to brew beer, or providing it to them through the brewery, if it would possibly cause a brother that had a problem with that, if it would cause them to stumble, then it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. So I knew that the microbrewery was out. Okay, we're not going to go there. So then the more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, and I asked God, well, should I continue to drink? I mean, I wasn't a drunkard, but I drank beer a lot. So I asked Him, should I stop? Is this something that You want me doing? And He told me, no, I want you to stop. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be brewing. You shouldn't even really be talking about it. Okay, well, because of my desire to be closer to Him, I said, okay, I wanted that change. So I asked Him to relieve me of my desire for it. And in one fell swoop, He did. Our God is so glorious and great that He completely took away my desire for it. I no longer have the desire to brew it or to drink it or, for the most part, to even talk about it. Right? I gave that part of my life to Jesus, and He took it. And keep in mind, it was a big part. It was something that I assumed that for the rest of my life I would be doing. This was a hobby that I thought for sure was going to happen. But I gave it to Him, and He took it. Because my prayer was in accordance to His will, He answered my prayer. There's no longing on my part anymore, because no sense of loss. In fact, it reminds me of how strong my God is, that He was able to relieve me of that. All right. Well, we all need to do this with all areas of our lives. And we need to know when we pray in His will, He will answer. 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever so we ask, we know that we will have the petitions of what we desire in Him. We know that God's word is the truth. So we know that if He says it, it will be. But do we really want to ask Him? Do we really want to be free from that specific sin down deep in our hearts? We really don't want to be. 1 John 1:6 tells us that if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Since we know that He doesn't want us to sin, and we also know that if we ask Him to relieve us of our desire for sinful behavior, then we know that He will. But do we really say that we want to have fellowship with Him, but we continue to walk in darkness? Do we lie and just say that we want to stop because we know that we should? Do I really want to give up my gluttony and really give up what I love doing? Matthew 6:24 tells us that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Are we serving ourselves rather than God? Am I putting my love for food before my love for the Savior? We know that God will deliver us from our sin if we ask Him. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We know that if we ask for forgiveness, God will forgive. But we have to ask. Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, after that manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forget our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How do we know that God will forgive us when we ask Him to? Because He told us He will. But then what? But why are we asking? Why are we asking God to relieve us from this sin? Why are we asking Him to forgive us from that sin? Are we asking to satisfy our own lusts? James 4:3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. When I ask for God to free me from something, is it so that I can give Him the glory, or is it to make me look better? Does my wanting to get back into shape have more to do with the fact that I don't look like I used to, or I can't do what I used to, or does it have more with the fact of me wanting to prove that God is awesome and God is great, to give Him the glory for what He can do? when we're going through financial troubles, and we've all gone through financial troubles, and we ask God for help, right? Is it so that we can be changed? Is it so that we can help others with the gifts that God has given us? Or is it so that we can just continue living on the same path we've lived, buying more stuff and holding on to it until we sell it in a garage sale? When we ask God for something, we do have to make sure that we're asking Him for the right motive, which is to please Him. When we ask for deliverance from whatever sin we're beholden to, whether it be food or alcohol, nicotine, lust, money, whatever, we have to ask because we really, really want the help. We really want to give it up completely and to never have it again. Not to have it a little bit or under certain circumstances, but to give it up completely. And we also need to make sure that we ask Him, that we believe that when we ask Him, we know that when we ask Him, that He'll come through. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go ahead and turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. All right, we're gonna pick up with verse 18. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18. And when the child was grown, by the way, we're the pre-part of the story here is that there's a Elisha is out in the wilderness and there's a really rich woman and she knows he's a man of God, so they set up a little place for him to come and hang out and to sleep there when he's in town. And this woman and her husband, they had prayed for a child and they were finally given a child. And we kind of pick up here. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father with the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to the lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the men of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither the new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So he went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God of the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near and thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. And she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? And he said, Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. And if thou meet any man, salute him not, and if they salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awakened. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come up into him, he said, Take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. The woman knew her son was dead, but it didn't matter. She still went looking for Elisha. Her husband thought it was folly to send for the man of God because the boy was dead. But she knew that if she sent for him, if she knew that if she called upon the man of God, that her son would live, and there was no telling her anything else. She knew that the man of God would heal her son. She had faith. We need to know that God is faithful and God is just. We need to have the same faith that she had. We need to have the faith to know that he is who he says he is. It's the reason that we don't ask God truthfully, though, for his help is because we lack faith. Faith that he will keep his word. And if it is a lack of faith, is it because of fear? Is that where our lack of faith stems from, is from fear? And if it is, well, why are we afraid? Are we afraid that if we ask him, he can't do it? We know that's not true. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record, for God, with God, is nothing shall be impossible. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Jesus looked upon them and saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible. All things are possible with God. What is impossible for him, what is possible for us, is nothing at all for him. Do I really think that the God who can speak the universe into creation can't release me from my grip of gluttony, or lust, or nicotine, or alcohol, or whatever the sin of ours might be, or trust and obedience, being obedient to him? Am I afraid that God can't fill me the same way that that food does? I know that all things are possible with him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 John 2:2, And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God has called us to certain things as men, as the fathers, as the leaders of our household. And we need to, if we want God's blessing in our lives, we need to go forward and we need to do this. I was talking with Jesse just before breakfast this morning. How's Colt's legs doing? You guys just went on vacation. How's everything going? And so Jesse shared with me, and I asked him if it was okay if I talked about this, but Jesse shared with me that he talked to his wife and to his kids, and they started fasting before they left. They fasted with the specific purpose of fasting for healing for Colt. Jesse went forward as the man of God that he is being told to lead his family in obedience to God by fasting with a specific purpose. And that was the last time Colt had a problem with his legs. Our God is so great, and our God is so glorious. And glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for healing Colt. We've been praying for that for so long. But Jesse went forward in obedience to God, prayed God's will, and it was done. Jesus came to take all of our sins. He came to take my sin, your sin, all of our sins. So we know that if we ask for his help, he will give it to us. We know that if we ask for forgiveness of our sins, he will forgive us. If we ask for deliverance of our sins, he will deliver us. If we have faith in him, it will be done. So what are we afraid of? We know we have no rational means to be afraid. Since we know that God is faithful and just and true, we can be assured that he will keep his word and forgive each one of us of our sin, no matter how great, no matter how small. And that if we are truly repentant, then he will deliver us from it, and we will no longer be burdened by it. In closing, let's just turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as though they are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and being coming to become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful time, Father, this time of exhortation, or this time of remembrance, of reminding, Father, that you are King, you are glorious, and that your will be done, Father. I thank you, Father, for your word to be true. Lord, I thank you for your word to be powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And Father, I come before you, I come before these men today, Lord, and I ask you to free me from my sin of gluttony, Father. I give it to you, Lord, I don't want it anymore. And Lord, as each man here prays, I just ask, Father, that you reveal to them in their hearts, Lord, if there be a specific sin in their life that they need to give up to you wholly and completely, Father, I just pray that they will remember that if they give it to you, Lord, you'll take it, you'll forgive them, and you'll take the want from them, Lord. Thank you, Father, for being God. Thank you, Lord, just for being so glorious. I ask that you bless these men today as we go about, Father, share your word, and in all things be proud to be Christians. We love you, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.